This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover all kinds of topics of interest in the Umpqua Valley. And talking about the Fish Food Pantry today, David Graham, the executive director, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Ironically enough, you were here last Friday at a different role when we were talking about Make a Difference Day, Douglas County, which, by the way, is happening tomorrow. And I understand there's still a need for some volunteers for that.
Well, there always will be. And yes, it's a great opportunity to get out and enjoy the this community, be a part of our volunteer system. And indeed, we'll be doing hosting one at the Fish itself this Saturday.
Well, very good. Talk about the Fish Food Pantry. Kind of give us overall information about it.
So, you know, we've been around here for 50 years. This has become our probably the most established of the pantries within the Douglas County. We're the largest of those. We offer and serve the community at large, far beyond just those that are in a homeless or at risk, at need circumstances. We service actually all those people that have a difficult time making it paycheck to paycheck. It's amazing how many people we can touch. We're serving approximately 900 to 1,100 people every single month. It's an incredible job to be a part of because we give back to the community, and this community gives so much to us to kind of support itself and support what's going on.
Now, you said 50 years. Is it 50 years this year?
It's 51, actually, this
51,
year.
51, okay.
Yeah.
Boy, 1972 was a busy year. A lot of things getting started back in that era. So how long have you been there?
Well, I came on board about 19 months ago, almost a full 2 years.
And you got to walk in the midst of a pandemic.
The trailing end of it, actually, yeah. So, in fact, that's really what inspired them to search for another executive director. Is, you know, coming out of the pandemic, coming out of that isolation that happened, it had not only caused a large number of needs within the community for our services, but also it meant that we were kind of behind the eight ball. We didn't have enough resources to really get out and connect and interact with the people that we really wanted to. So coming back on board at that time was really kind of an exciting moment, and it was great to see us be able to reopen our doors, renew our services, and just really get out and touch the people that needed to be there.
Now, what was your background before that?
Well, I was mostly in the commercial and in the for-profit world. I'd worked quite a bit, though, in the food industry, both in consulting and in operations, and actually during COVID had worked all over the country working on emergency food boxes, trying to come up with ways to solve that problem when we were in lockdown across this country. There were no accesses, no resources for people to really be provided their sustenance. So we developed a couple of programs, started in Louisiana, moved on to about 15 other states. And it was really through that work and that contact with the nonprofit world, the charity operations, and the government agencies that I just realized that there's a great deal of need for solid work to be done in that industry. And it was an incredible feeling, a sense of well-being when you get done and accomplish the kind of tasks you need to do. So coming out of that, when I came here to take care of my father, it was just kind of a natural to start looking at the nonprofit world, see where I might be able to fit in and help out.
It's interesting how many different aspects of life where I've heard stories like that, where people, for different things, people worked on projects on what turned out to be a national level because so many people were working remotely. You didn't have to be there. You just had to be able to do Zoom or, trade documents back and forth or some of both. And people got really, I mean, there were so many things about the pandemic that people don't want to remember. A lot of ideas and a lot of things that were really available technologically really came to the surface there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I think with every crisis or any cloud, there's that silver lining that's around it. And you always have to, especially in a business world, you always have to look at where the opportunity is going to be. What opens up a new aspect for you. So in that world, it was those people that were able to pivot into that kind of service that survived. And you're right, it's fascinating to see the stories that you'll hear of the tremendous changes in lifestyle from 3 years before the COVID virus, and then through that 3 year period. I've heard it over and over again, and for me, it was also life changing.
When you got here, looked around, kind of talk about getting started in the midst of things still being a little pandemic.
Well, you know, I came here actually to tend to my father, had fallen ill, and really needed to have somebody there 24/7 for him. So, came back to Oregon and up here to Roseburg. I'd been living in Medford earlier, once I got here, once I got settled in with my father and kind of taking care of him, I realized, you know, the services that you need for somebody who is terminally ill, that the aspects that you have for health care, for resources that they might need. Well, you're at a loss if you don't know how to go out and reach those services. So as I learned the process and learned that nonprofit community, it just became more and more obvious to me, I guess, that there was an opportunity here for me to step in and to be able to help where there's great need. Volunteerism is a huge and tremendous help to everybody, but you do also need those people that can take hold of that leadership role and kind of keep that bus rolling in the right direction. So once I got here, once I found out that there was a need, once I learned of the fish in the pantry, it was a natural, actually, to come in and step into that role.
What are some of the things in the last year and a half or so that you've been able to do out there?
Well, we instituted a brand new program, which is now nationwide and in pilot program, which is we call our DoorDash or program, Project Dash program, where, again, one of the things that we found was that even pre-COVID, and especially with COVID, those people that were housebound, unable to get out, those people that didn't have transportation, maybe utilized buses and didn't really have a car, those people that were veterans or injured, or anyone that just simply, it was difficult for them to get to our pantry to come and shop through the pantry themselves, well, they didn't have an option. They had Meals on Wheels, which is a wonderful thing, but it's a single hot meal that's delivered. Groceries, though, was still an aspect that hadn't been developed. And so we took this idea with DoorDash, where we have our housebound people call in. We'll prepare an emergency food box for them, and then DoorDash will come by. Those drivers will volunteer to come by, pick up that food, and deliver it for no cost out to those people in need. That has touched, about 100 people a month now in areas where, you know, before this, they simply didn't have that option and there wasn't something available for them. So that, to me, was a tremendous plus. And then just all of the common things that happen when we're out more in the community, we're talking more, being able to interact with yourself on the radio as well as with all the various nonprofits that are out there. I think, to me, you grow a bigger sense of proportion if you go out and cooperate and work with those people that are out there that follow the same footsteps that you have.
Now, so the DoorDash idea started here.
We were the second one in Oregon, actually, to adopt the program. It was a pilot program that they had just started. So, yeah, we were an early adopter to it and really kind of proved its worth and developed the systems with them as to how easy it was for us to be able to actually manage these kind of calls and services. And I say, you know, when you look at it, 100 to 200 people that potentially every month didn't have a service available prior to this, didn't have that kind of safety and security of their food resources, it's a tremendous plus for their life.
All right, we're going to take a break and more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. David Graham from Fish Food Pantry, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:48. Lars Larson coming at 1. Don't forget, we'll have Umpqua Valley Live at 4, looking at arts, entertainment, community events. We'll be talking about some of the Halloween-related trunk-or-treat activities that are happening over the next few days. David Graham with us from the Fish Food Pantry, which, by the way, we'll be talking more about this with somebody else this afternoon. But you guys are part of the effort out there tomorrow on the nonprofit campus to do that trunk or treat.
The trunk or treat activities are all part of our JBCC, the community campus that we have there, all of our nonprofits. So each of the groups have kind of volunteered to go out, decorate their cars, put something together for the kids. Last year, we had over 600 people show up. It was amazing. And rain or shine, they all showed. It was great fun for the children. I think families had a wonderful opportunity to kind of walk around and see some of the services that are available through the charities and nonprofits that were operating there. Just fun all the way around.
Yeah, you know, I remember I was out there to get some pictures for a little while, and I think we were kind of right on the edge of rain at that point. It rained later. Tomorrow, that's not going to be an issue. So it's going to be dry here for several days, but that was definitely a fun time last year, and it looks like you've started something that's probably going to be an annual tradition for a long time.
Yeah, that's our hope. I think this community, again, being able to bring that focus on the fact that everyone that is within that this community we have, from Aviva Health through the family practices, all of us are nonprofit operations. All of us are focused on different aspects and different ways to care for people. So it's wonderful to be able to serve those needs without having to drive halfway around the community to go and get the opportunity. So
one of the things we always like to mention when we talk about the fish is this another cool idea that started here, the Green Bag Project.
Yes, that's been a lifesaver for us as well. The Green Bag Program is a perfect way, again, for volunteers that don't have a lot of time to be able to actually participate for us, which they receive a physical green bag, a cloth empty bag. And basically what we do is we ask if you're going out shopping, you're buying your groceries, you're buying an extra non-perishable can of soup or some goods that go into that green bag. And then once every 2 months, that full green bag you place out on your patio or your porch, and we have our volunteers drive around and they'll collect those bags up. They bring them back to the fish, and that thousands of pounds of food that we receive from our community then goes back out to serve the needs of our charity.
Now, my wife got us signed up for doing that many years ago. One of her friends was already involved in that, and it seemed like a good idea. Back then, we had kids at home, and so shopping was adding a can of this and a little bit of pasta here and there. Now, honestly, it's sort of a dedicated trip to the store. Just because we don't have kids at home and the way our meal pattern is now. But it's kind of like going out on a mission. It's like, because the neighborhood coordinator will email my wife and say, here's some things we especially need this month, or yeah, things that we're short of. And then I take the list and I'm able to go around and look for maybe things that not everybody puts in as well. Look for good high quality items. And it's a fun time just shopping for that.
Well, I think that's really one of the aspects that is special about this Green Bag Program, in that you can write a check for us, which we're always happy to receive. You know, money is great for us to purchase. But I think the physical act of taking that green bag, going out, and as you say, even if it's a dedicated effort, if you're going out and shopping, it you're physically interacting with things, bringing them back to fill that bag, that physical aspect, and then putting it out on your porch really leaves you with a much better feel than just simply write a check, because you see what you're doing and you get a chance to interact with that, and everything that you go and put into that bag, you know, is going back out to people in need. I think that's one of the reasons why it's become such a popular and successful program.
And it's interesting, too, because since I shop at the same store and I'm in 4 or 5 times a week, when I go through with that purchase, if it's a clerk that I often deal with, they'll look at me and go, what are you doing? Because you don't normally buy this much and you don't buy that and that and that. And that's given me an opportunity to explain what's going on a number of times.
Yeah, that's right. When you go up to the store with 12 jars of peanut butter, you're trying to explain to them, it's not all for you.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you've got a transition coming up.
Well, yes, indeed. You know, it's been, say, 18 months of incredible positive work here, and getting a chance to be a part of this community and be a part of the charitable operations. I have, though, accepted a position now further down south into Medford, Oregon, with another nonprofit that is in equal or even more need of kind of the heavy lifting that needs to take place. I think we're leaving a fish in a wonderful circumstance, a wonderful spot for somebody to take on and kind of continue our successes. Now's my time to go, though, and step back up and put some hard work into a place that really needs to have some additional work.
And you had been in Medford a lot in your past, right?
Yes, I owned a restaurant down in Medford itself. Been there for some time. Raised one of my children there. So it's going back to familiar territory as well. And this opportunity kind of came out of left field. But you know, when there are significant needs and you feel like you've got the right tools in hand to help them, that calling you kind of step into. And I've been very grateful that the board and all the people at the volunteers and people with the fish have been very supportive of that.
And obviously, a new executive director will be announced soon, and we'll get that person on and talk about that when that takes place.
Yes.
The area of food seems to have been a focus of yours. You mentioned the restaurant and the food service. It's like you've been in pretty much every area of the world of food.
Well, yes, I really, from an early age, I think I learned once I moved out of my house to live on my own, that if I worked in a restaurant, there was food available, and it meant I wasn't just living on peanut butter and jelly. So early on, I was attracted to the business. It's a very social business. It is a very active one, and over time, everything I did in my business world had a focus within it in nutrition services or in standard foods, all the way up to owning a restaurant and then going on from that to consulting.
And so were you a chef as well, or were you more in the management side?
Both, actually. I was a chef and really enjoy the kitchen. It's hard not to get in there and start cooking if I ever get an opportunity to. But it's tricky if you have to do it by yourself. You know, I cook for a lot of people. So living solo, you kind of have to look at trying to make a meal that'll last 2 weeks.
Right. It's like, do I really want to make this? And then I have to eat it for the next...
it becomes my second week of, the same kind of food I had just a week ago.
Wow. So as you get ready to transition, what are the things that you feel like are the most special about your time here?
Well, I got to say, the interaction within the community. When I was here just last week with Brian at with United Way, the interactions and the support that you get with the people that are in the nonprofit world has been fabulous. The community at large, no matter where I've gone, talking to the Lions Clubs, talking to different groups or churches, the community is such a giving and open community. It's a wonderful place to be. And I was so surprised coming into here, learning that you know, we really did. Roseburg really did have this kind of open heart, and I have to say, it was a game changer, life changer for me. Not only being so well received within the community, but really seeing the quality of services that are out here, it gives you high hope that Roseburg is going to continue to develop and grow into a wonderful and continue to be a wonderful place to be.
All right, David Graham, well, our paths, I'm sure, will cross again at some point. Thanks for being here.
Well, I've been so grateful to you. Thank you, Kyle.
1250 7 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.